Okay, so today is November 1st, and this is an informational call about the course entitled Coaching Techniques and Practices, a Polishing Course. So let me just give you a little explanation how that came about. We were thinking, you know, so many people have studied coaching a while ago. There have been some changes, but some people like to just do a brief update in their coaching, or if they're wanting to bring some things together after a long time of learning, this is great. Or as you were saying, Lillian, if you want some CCEUs, this is great.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a six-hour course. It's going to meet once a week for an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really what shall we call it? It's a quick review of what you've learned in coaching, plus I've added in some stuff about the PCC markers.
Mm.
Because the PCC markers came out in the summer of 2014, and there's more and more assessors being trained in them, so they're being used now, by the way. If you are applying for the PCC using the portfolio system at ICF, that's how they're being your oral exams are being assessed using the PCC markers.
Okay.
So that's something worth noting, you know. So ICF is using them already. Of course, what one of the big detriments of them is getting everyone trained, all the assessors trained in them.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a tedious process.
It must be.
Yeah, because to get trained in them is an 18 to 20-week process.
Wow.
It's not that you're meeting every single week, but there's stuff that you're doing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
In fact, if you get trained in them and finish it up, it's like a 30 CCEUs, okay?
Wow, okay.
So it's quite extensive, as you can see. So different schools are coming are integrating it into their curriculum in different ways. But for sure, if you're doing mentoring of students or mentoring of coaches, it would behoove you to learn about the PCC markers.
Mm-hmm.
Because there have been some changes. Now, the thing I need to say about the markers is that the core competencies have remained the same.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think about the core competencies as establishing the intention, what I'm getting some feedback.
Yeah, me too.
If someone else is on the line, if you could put yourself on mute, thank you. So if now I got to rejigger where I was for a second. So if you think about the core competencies as providing us with an overview of what's and digging down into what's to happen in that core competency. And if you think that the PCC markers then are for when assessors or anyone is looking at your coaching, the question is, how would I recognize that this core competency, that the coach really understands this core competency and is applying it? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the PCC markers give us sort of a behavioral guideline, if you will, of what we would be noticing if that person is fulfilling that competency.
Right.
Now, the danger is when you're doing mentoring, if you took each marker and you read it and you said, well, that the student or the coach is making a checklist and checking off, well, I hit that marker and I hit that one. No, that does not suffice. In fact, if that's what we see in the coaching, that is not a pass. That's a fail.
Mm.
Because it has to be integrated. The PCC markers need to be integrated into your behavior as a coach and applied appropriately.
Right.
So are you using your own language? Is this appropriate for the client, what the client has brought up? And it's not just some little checklist you have that you're saying, oh, I did that one, I did that one. So that's just a, Lillian, that's just a brief overview, if you will, about the core competencies and how they integrate with the PCC markers.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And I guess I kind of do that when I'm teaching that class, too.
Yeah.
And I've printed out a sheet for their the class's student library that covers the competency plus the marker plus the do's and don'ts.
Yeah, okay.
And the difference between powerful questions and powerful questioning.
Oh, yeah, that's major, because the competency is powerful questioning. It's not
right.
Powerful questions. Yeah.
Right.
And the fact is, you don't know if a question's powerful until it's landed. So
yeah, exactly.
Forget it. So back to this little course of 6 hours, Coaching Techniques and Practices. So in this course, I actually even go back to the beginning of what is coaching. Now, we all have our own, we all know, and I could share with you tons of textbook definitions, but what we're really getting to here is, what does coaching mean to you? And in fact, when I teach this at another institution, I can do it here too, I ask people to write down their definition in 300 words or less, what coaching is for them at the personal gut level. Perhaps using, some people have used metaphors.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never forget one student, it was a wonderful, she said, I see coaching as being, that as a coach I'm a Sherpa.
Oh, wow.
For my clients. In other words, they choose where they want to go. I accompany them, but they're the one, and I will be there with them along the trail, but they're the ones that has to go up the trail too. You know,
nice.
So the person really got into it. It was quite lovely. So we just started, we do that. We do a very brief look as a review of what are some of the distinctions between the four we usually look at, psychotherapy, consulting, mentoring, and psychotherapy. But then I also add in, because a lot of people are working in organizations, so what is the difference between coaching and managing, supervising, educating as well? Because that's what you often hear when you're working in a company. I also put in a framework that I've learned about from someone else, Robert Hicks, is called the Four Square Coaching Framework, and it really gives us a bird's eye view of what are we really doing in coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes back to Socrates. So we just do that as well to anchor in. It gives us another viewpoint. And then looking at some other pieces under that, looking at coaching as dialogue. You know, some people think about coaching as discussion. It's not. As conversation. It's not just a social conversation. But what is coaching as dialogue? And that goes beneath the surface.
Mm.
Then a brief review of how is this holistic approach, because coaching is coaching. I don't care what specialty you're in. There's specifics for each specialty. It usually focuses around the specialty's language and some areas that you need to know under that specialty area. But when we think about coaching as a whole person or a unified approach, what are we looking at beneath the surface? And so we do a very brief. This is all in lesson one, by the way.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, man, we're going like lickety-split through some of this. And where does coaching start? Well, it starts with you. And what does that mean? You are the holder of the coaching process. And so what does that, how does that, where do we go with that? I'm just leafing through here to highlight some of these things. So we're looking at what are your qualities, and I have a handout on that. What are the ABCs of coaching? What is, if you have these, the ABCs down, it's going to affect and allow your coaching to be much smoother. So we'll go into that. And then, let me turn the page here as I'm going. Oh, and then because we want to include all the core competencies, a very brief look at meeting ethical guidelines and standards. What are some things that you as a coach need to know and do to stay out of, as my colleague calls it, ethical hot water? There's two or three things that you need to focus on. Then that's lesson one. Lesson two, we're going to really delve into, it's entitled Beginning, Great Beginnings Lead to Great Endings. So we dive deeper into things like setting the agenda. And there are some major, this is one of the areas overall, the markers as we were talking about, support and expand on and give us more behavioral definitions of the core competencies. This is one area where the emphasis really has changed from what the core competency is written up about to what it actually is now in the markers. So there are some real notable differences. And just so you know, is that in the core competencies, originally it was about the establishing what we now call as the big A, the overarching agenda.
Mm-hmm.
What the markers look at now is what, how do you set the agenda for each and every coaching meeting? And that has been expanded upon. And there are, I think, five or six markers. Let me see over here. Five in creating the agreement. And so how do I integrate that in to this beginning part of a coaching conversation so that I'm actually incorporating this? And by the way, just an aside, you'll hear me say it if you take the course, your main job as a coach is to create awareness. That's your main job.
Right.
Because change cannot happen without awareness, at least consistent, sustainable change.
Mm-hmm.
And so how do I go about doing that? And this, if you look at the new way or some of the things to incorporate now in setting the agenda, you begin right at the beginning by creating awareness. So that's going to take your coaching to a new level. One of the other things, too, that's very, very important, and it gets brought up actually in coaching presence, but it permeates throughout all of the coaching now, is it's no longer that you're just going for what does the client want to achieve during the coaching meeting, but how does it relate back to this person, the who?
Mm-hmm.
So there's this interweaving at all times of what does the client want and how does it relate to them as a person. This is particularly important. I hear from so many executive coaches at times, or people coaching in companies, well, you coach to what the company wants. Well, that's fine and dandy, but how does that affect the client as well? How do they get it? What's it mean to them? What's their understanding? How would it affect them? What needs to change for them?
Yeah, I've always found it's so most important, like you're coaching the client, not the situation.
That's right. And you're not coaching for solution. I know there are schools that talk about solution-focused coaching.
Right.
That can create a certain mindset so that it becomes problem solving. and that is not what coaching is about.
Mm-hmm.
Do problems get solved? Do solutions get found? But that's not our – if that's your emphasis, that is not what we're talking about as coaching. So then in this course, so we do some work around that. We also take another look at listening and what are some of the key qualities of a good listener. What are some guidelines for coaches around listening? Because listening is different than hearing, as you all know. What are the three levels of listening, at least? And how do you get yourself to that third level, which is the level where you are really in alignment? You are so in alignment with your client, you're picking up what cannot be necessarily heard or said, etc. So that's lesson two. And there is, I always include a bonus at the end so that there's always something that we can take a look at if we have sufficient time, but if not, there's an additional gift for each of you at the end of each lesson. So lesson three focuses on the middle portion of coaching, which is actually the journey. You know, you've established what the client wants to focus on. And then you go into the exploratory phase, which is the largest portion of any coaching conversation typically. And so I like to, and you, if you take the class, you'll hear me use this again, but a quote from Galileo, who said, "You cannot teach a person anything. You can only help him find it within himself."
Mm-hmm.
And so,
I need a four.
Hello, I hear somebody in the background.
Well, 2:30, I'll make hot dogs and beans.
Can you put yourself on mute, please?
Well,
thank you.
Potatoes.
Okay.
Hello. Hello.
I had a late breakfast.
I'm hearing some folks
what?
In the background. Can you please put yourselves on mute? We're doing a call right now. Thank you. So we're looking at the middle of the coaching conversation, which, as I said, is usually the longest place. This is the place for discovering, exploring, getting deeper understanding. To me, this is where the fun really begins, because sit back, enjoy this client. I could imagine you going out for a walk in the woods with your client, and you're on this adventure, and, you know, what is the client finding along this adventure? What are you discovering to examine? So what we'll also do in this third lesson, where we're looking at the middle of the journey in coaching, we'll be also looking at core competency 5, active listening, 6, powerful questioning, 7, direct communication, and 8, creating awareness. Usually what I find is most schools spend a lot of time around listening and questioning and not as much time over direct communication, and that a lot of students, as they're moving towards their PCC, are afraid of direct communication because they're afraid they're going to be leading their clients. And so we want to get really, really clear on what's the difference between direct communication and being directive. So I spend some time on that, because what we found is the more masterful your coaching becomes, that the coaching actually is more like 50% questions and 50% direct communication. If it's much more than that, then the coaching feels much more like an inquisition. And direct communication is about you as the coach sharing with the client. You know, yes, you don't have to. You can share what you're picking up on or sensing or perceiving or intuiting. And you can offer feedback. That is stated within the core competency. So how do you do that? So we'll take a look at that. The other part, too, that is so important is about vision. What is this client's vision? Not just what do they want. Okay, anybody can say that, but take it to the next level. What is their vision of what they want? How do they really see it? Flesh it out. Get it big. So it's about building on what they want. And as you do that, how you will be staying within, how you'll be allowing the client's creativity to come to the foreground. And that's a place, too, where you get into a lot of possibilities thinking. So, you know, what is possible? Because we usually limit ourselves. And what we want is for our clients to really go beyond their current level. And if you look at the markers, if you look under powerful questioning, that's what it says in the markers, that you go beyond their current thinking to new or even expanded ways of thinking. So that's our job as a coach. Notice how we're really into the business of expansion. And when you expand, you're creating awareness. So we'll take a look, too, at what's the difference between, for instance, cloudy and clear communication. What is the continuum, and what's it look like about where complimenting, cheerleading, acknowledging or affirming, and endorsing? So we'll review that. Some of you may know those distinctions, and for those that don't, it's a way to get clear or to remind yourself of the differences. And then we'll spend some time, as I said, on creating awareness. Why is that so important? And, you know, there are a minimum of 30 to 40 ways to create awareness. So I'll be sharing some of that with you, too. And then we'll also, if we have time, this is part of the bonus material, is take a look at metaphors and analogies, because this is a way sometimes to bypass logico-deductive thinking and move right into some very expansive, creative thinking. And then lesson four is where we look at the ending of a coaching meeting. The question I get so frequently from people that I mentor is, how do I end the call smoothly? My endings are sort of jerky. They're not smooth. They're ragged. And I have a process that I'm happy to share with you all in the class on how to end your coaching call that it is a nice progression that also works, and you're working with the client for them. You're working with the client to come up with what they're going, what they're going to be doing to move themselves forward. And that this progression allows you to go through all of that. You know, working with the client, brainstorming, coming up with specifics, also for them to create a support network for themselves as they move forward. Also to emphasize, as a reminder to all of you, and we'd say, I'll say more about this in the class, is that coaching is a learning and developmental model. So that's what coaching is all about. If I'm creating awareness, that's about learning, and it's about development. So how do we capture that towards the end of a coaching conversation? So those core competencies that we look at the end are core competency 9, designing actions, 10, planning and goal setting, and 11, managing progress and accountability. Now, this is one of the shifts that has happened. We still have core competencies 9, 10, and 11, but within the markers, they have collapsed, if you will. I don't want to call it collapsed, but they have bundled. Here's the term I like. They have bundled the three of these competencies together to create a whole, so that it becomes a whole little mini process within the larger coaching process. So we'll go over that on and how can you do that, and I supply you with a format and an outline of how that can happen. And so we talk about that. And also, what is a lot of you, if you've worked in business or organizations, you learn SMART goals. They're just not very appropriate for coaching. And so a colleague and I came up with SMART coaching, SMART for coaching. So we'll talk about that too, how has SMART changed for coaching to make it more applicable. And let's see, then also at the end here, there's a bonus piece where we, if we have time, we can talk about what is process coaching. And I have some outlines and guidelines for that. So this is really, you know, some of you have taken perhaps coaching a while ago, and maybe your coaching container has gotten a little tarnished. So this is a way to polish it up, add some review some things you already know, add to it, and also take you into this newer dimension of using the PCC markers as well to take you out of your where you are currently to where coaching is headed. So I am open now for any kinds of questions that are coming up. So if any of you are on mute, come on back, and if you're on mute and you're not sure how to do that, you can also hit star 6.
Hi, Lynn. This is Renee.
Yeah, Renee.
How are you?
Good.
Quick question. So are there also ACC markers or just PCC markers?
There are not ACC markers at this time. It's just the PCC markers. But if you go for the PCC markers, you're obviously going to be at the ACC.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah. So other questions? By the way, there are not MCC markers either. So it's just PCC markers. So any other questions?
I'm sorry. Just one more question. Is this
as
course
many as you have. Go ahead.
Thanks. Is this course available currently in the on the list of courses?
Yes, it is.
Oh,
and in
great.
Fact, if you're to sign up, this course, let me tell you that, it starts, where's my calendar? It starts next week. Okay, and it will be done before the holiday. I mean, I think we have to, will we finished? Let me just go grab my, I left my calendar in the other room, but I can grab it quick. But we'll be meeting on Thursdays from, it starts next week on Thursday the 9th from 1 p.m. Eastern to 2:30. And it will go for 4 weeks. So we'll take Thanksgiving off. And it will finish on December 7th. So for any of you that need some CCEUs for your credential renewal or for application, you'll have them before the end of the year, before December 30th when those are due in. And let me just... See, there is a discount if you sign up for it. So, in fact, if any of you want to, I'm just going, this was sort of last minute. I asked, is there a discount? And she said, yes, but I have to get it for you because I think there's a code for you to use. And I just got it just before I got on the phone. So hang on 1 second and I'll get it for you if anybody's interested. Here's the code, E25, which means you get a $25 reduction in the cost of the course. So when we do this, what I've done in the past, a lot of people love to do this course on Zoom. So I'm happy to do it either on the phone or on Zoom and share my screen with you, but you will also get handouts for everything. Note-taking becomes much simpler. Other questions?
Lynn, it's Lillian.
Yeah.
What about any assignments or work outside of the class?
You know, I have work, but at this point, and I would love to have you do it, the most it would take is an hour of your time.
Each week or all together?
No, each week.
Okay.
It would probably take you like a half an hour, you know, in most cases. But I think I've cut that down to maybe, it's just to ingrain some things and get you thinking, that's all.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, it's a super busy time, so I was just wondering.
Oh, absolutely. But there's no grading.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's really what we're looking for is, are you coming to the classes? Are you following along?
Yeah. Okay, great.
Mm-hmm. Other questions that I haven't answered?
I know the course is really short. Is there any practice periods?
There isn't for this course, but if you're interested in that, I can work with you on how to do that, or if other people are interested, we could set up some practice courses. I mean, practice times.
Yeah, okay, great, thank you.
Uh-huh.
So will you be primarily teaching?
Uh-huh, primarily, but, I'm it.
Great.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I also teach this in a university.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the students there love it. It's sort of their end course that brings everything together for them.
Mm-hmm.
So.
That sounds excellent.
Yeah. So, Lillian, how long ago was it that you took your coaching stuff? It's been a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been a while, and then I've been teaching in between, and I've taken some workshops along the way, but
uh-huh.
I feel like I never know enough, and
uh-huh. right.
there's lots I need to refresh and polish, and
yeah.
I think it'll just make the PQ class better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, Renee, where are you in your coaching education?
Well, I need to get my ACC.
Great.
Through ILCT, I've achieved the business coaching certification and the life coaching certification.
Uh-huh.
But now I need to do the ACC.
Okay. Okay.
Lynn?
Mm-hmm.
Hi, this is Victoria.
Yeah, Victoria.
Are you doing anything of how to attract more clients or any of those subjects? Are you touching them on this course?
I'm not touching marketing in this course. It's too short.
Okay.
Yeah, this is called Coaching Techniques and Practices, so we're just focused on that right now.
Okay.
But ILCT does offer other courses in marketing. So if that's what you're interested in, We do have that as well. Other questions?
Okay, I just found that that was one of the things I've been struggling with since I did the courses with ILCT, you know, since I became a coach.
Yeah. Mhm. Other questions? The other thing I want to tell you is when I teach, I always, like if this goes for an hour and a half, I always book myself enough space at the end so that if something goes over, if you get engrossed in a topic, I have time to spend on it because I feel that that's my gift to students. Because sometimes we'll be going over something and it will spark an interest or spark a deeper exploration. So I always like, so when I'm booking courses, I always save an extra half an hour at the end of the each call just in case. So I hang on if people have other questions. So I just wanted you all to know that as well.
Do you think this course is going to give me more of a path to follow while doing the coaching session?
Victoria, I think it will get more precise for you and will build up around, you'll get more information on the PCC markers, which I don't think you have, as I recall.
No.
And that's where the coaching field is heading is as far as assessing. And it also deepens your understanding of the coaching process. Other questions?
Lynn, is there a minimum enrollment for the class to run?
Well, I'd like to have more than two. So I'll take three or four or five or 100, you know, as many as we can get.
Yeah, because it's coming up so fast, I just wondered.
I think there are a couple people signed up. I think we have a couple people already signed up, so I think it's a go already. So, but it would be adding to it.
Okay. Well, that's good. So it'll definitely run.
As far as I know.
Yeah, good.
I don't ever like to guarantee anything because the minute you do, something blows up in your hand, you know?
Yep. Murphy's Law.
Exactly. Exactly.
Hey, Lynn, one other quick question. Could you just touch briefly on the difference between, say, an ACC or PCC and then the board? I think they call it a BCC.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What
the differences
are? Well,
the major distinction is that, and by the way, I'm not an authority on the BCC, so Ellen is, so you'd have to check with her, but there is a major distinction. The BCC comes out of a totally separate organization. Okay, it is not at all related to ICF. So that's a major distinction. Okay, and from what I know is it was put together for people that did have a background in psychology primarily. To build on what they already know. So the ACC requires a minimum of 60 hours of coach-specific education. It requires 10 hours of mentoring. It requires that you have coached for a minimum of 100 hours. 25 of those may be pro bono. And that you take the coach knowledge assessment, the CKA. So everyone now, if they're going for any kind of credential within ICF, in order to get the credential from ICF, takes that coach knowledge assessment. If you would like to see a couple questions on it, you know, sample questions, that is on the website, or the ICF website, so you can look up CKA. I can tell you that the CKA questions, they're multiple choice questions. They ask you to select the best within the answers. But it's based on the core competencies and the code of ethics and the ICF definitions of coaching. For those of you that are in an ACTP program, that stands for Accredited Coach Training Program, so if you're already a student or have been a student at ILCT and are taking courses there, if you look up ACC, you know, what the requirements are, you would look under the column that says ACTP, because there's three or four columns. The PCC requires that you have a minimum of 125 hours of coach-specific education, that you have coached for a minimum of 500 hours, of which 25% may be pro bono. And by the way, that has been reduced in the last couple of years from 750. So there's been a third reduction in the hours. So all of us that have been credentialed before that had to have a minimum of 750 hours to get our credential. Again, it requires that you have overall 10 hours of mentoring and that you've passed the CKA. Now, if you take the CKA, that's that coach knowledge assessment, when you're doing your ACC, you don't repeat it for the PCC. Once you've taken it, you've taken it. Did I miss anything? Anything else you want to know?
Oh, that's super helpful. Thank you.
Yeah. So, anything else? Okay. Well, I just want to say I appreciate your coming. I appreciate your questions. And if there are any questions that arise after we hang up today, you can feel free to email me at coachingservicesintl@verizon.net or giving me a call at 610-876-6487. So, one last time, any other questions that I can respond to? Okay, so everyone, thank you so much, and have a wonderful holiday season as now we're into that time, now that Halloween is over, heading for Thanksgiving and the rest of the end of the year celebrations. So, I hope that I see some of you in the class. It would be a delight to have you there.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you, Lynn.
Yep.
Bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye. Bye-bye.